2 Samuel chapter number 15. I'm going to go ahead and turn this one on. You can turn the other one down. And the Bible says this in verse number 1, "And it came to pass after this, Absalom prepared him chariots and horses, and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, that Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed over the king to hear thee, of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for this time together in your word. Now I pray, Father, you give us wisdom to understand your will and your ways in our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would like for us just for a few minutes here before we get into the message to look at Absalom here. Absalom, if you don't recall, he is the son of David. He had a sister named Tamar, and he had a half-brother who raped his sister. And then, you know, said he loved her, then he raped her, and then he didn't have anything to do with her. He hated her. And she ended up dying. And Absalom hated his half-brother for this. And so he made a plot and killed him. Well, so that was out murder. And David, instead of having Absalom put to death, did not do that and told him to leave. So Absalom was banished from Israel for a period of time until Joab came along and brought him back. Now, all this time, Absalom has still got in his heart this seed of bitterness and revenge and this hatred because his father didn't do what he thought he should have. And it's true that David did not do what he should have done as king. But Absalom carried this in his heart all this time. So we have to understand that Absalom never, ever let go of those things. He gives the appearance of one who just wants to get along in with his life. That's all he wants to do. You know, just gives that appearance. But in reality, he has a plan to rob his father of the kingdom. All right, now, but look at this. He says here, "It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him." Now, the reason he prepared these things was because he wanted to make a good appearance. Okay? He wanted to make a good show. He wanted to look prosperous. He wanted to look like he was doing well and like he was a man to be heard and all this. He wanted to look respectable. That's why he did this. And then it says there in verse number 2 that he'd rise up early and he would stand beside the gate because people would come to that city to see the king and to bring their difficulties before him, to have them all judged and everything. And so he would stand outside the gate and wait for people to line up out there. And he said that if a man came and had a controversy and he came to the king for judgment, that Absalom would sit there and say, Hey, what city are you from? And he'd say, Well, I'm of one of the tribes of Israel. I'm from Dan, or I'm from, you know, Beersheba, or I'm from here, or I'm from there. And he would say, and Absalom would say to him, You know, I know your matters are right and good. He says, You know, you deserve to have your case heard, but the king just won't let anybody hear you, just himself. And he said, If I were made the judge in the land, he said, I would make sure that every man's cause, when they came to him, that he would get justice. He'd say, That's what I would do. So he's doing two things. One thing, He's implying the king doesn't do justice. And the second thing he's doing is he's saying that he should be come to instead of the king, which is not proper either. It says here, and it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. So then he'd also play up to people who began to look to him in this way. People who would look to him and everything. Oh, they, you know, he'd take him up and, oh, you're my dear friend. And, oh, you know, let me hug you. Let me give you a kiss on the cheek to show you just how close we are. And this is what he would do. And it says here that on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now understand, this is a plan. Okay? This is a plan that Absalom had to destroy his father's kingdom. That's why he did this. I mean, it wasn't, gee, you know, Absalom was just a nice guy and people just liked him more than David. And so, you know, that's not what happened here. You understand, Absalom made a plot, made a plan, and behaved this way in order to accomplish his desire. There's only one problem with it. It was none of his business. It was none of his business. This afternoon, I want to talk about a subject. The subject of busybodies. You need to be able to recognize them. Because just like Absalom here, a busybody never comes to you and says, I'm a busybody. Okay? They never do that. Because in their mind, they're justified in being busybodies. Just like Absalom. He didn't see anything wrong with what he was doing. Even though we know that God said that it was evil what he was doing. Busybodies never see themselves that way. Let's just look. We're going to look at three points, three things. Keys that the Bible gives us to identify busybodies. First of all, it was found in this book of 2 Thessalonians, and we can see these as a pattern in Absalom. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, the Bible says this. We'll just go there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. He says this. He says in verse number 7, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, that is for nothing. We wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. The first indication that a person might be a busybody is that they are a non-worker. Okay, they're a non-worker. I don't mean they don't have a job. They're a non-worker. What was Absalom doing? Was Absalom working? Was he a part of the kingdom, helping the kingdom to be healthy and strong? Was that what Absalom was? No, what was Absalom? He's a non-worker. It's often been said the people who complain the most are the ones who do the least. And I believe it's true. I believe Absalom is an evidence of that. When you have people who don't want to be a part of what's going on, the only thing left for them to do is to be a busybody and to be critical of it. You don't have, you know, there's not a lot of choices. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. A busybody, the Bible tells us, is a non-worker. That they go around, they walk disorderly, working not at all.
but are busybodies. You see, God gave us all something to do so that we could be occupied and not fall into this trap of becoming a busybody. Nothing else to do, so I'm going to meddle with what Christine is doing. Because I'm not doing anything. And it makes me feel sort of bad to see other people do stuff and I'm not doing anything, and I got to make an excuse for it. So the best thing for me to do is to not work at all, but be a busybody and to be occupied with what everybody else is doing instead of thinking about what I'm supposed to be doing. A busybody is a non-worker. Proverbs 19:15 says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." Now, in the real world, yeah, a person who doesn't work doesn't eat. But an idle soul, a person who in their heart has no business for God, they suffer hunger. You and I, we always have a desire to be about something. Everybody does. But not everything we have a desire to be about is a good thing to desire to be about. For instance, when I laid carpet with Mark Jones, we did some HUD homes there in Indianapolis, and we were going in, and they tore everything out, and we were going in and put new tile floors in and everything, and we do it takes 70 boxes per unit, and we do 2 units a day. That's 140 boxes of tile that we'd lay every day. Okay, and we go in there and we'd lay that tile down. And I remember coming in one morning, and was unloading the truck, and this guy comes walking by. It was a nice sunny morning and everything. And he came by and this was his comment to me. He says, "It's a beautiful sunny day and you got to work, but I got to play." And I said, "Yeah, but at the end of the day, I feel like I'm worth something." And then I went on about my business. See, he had a desire to be about something, but just not about anything good. See, we all have a desire to be busy with something. But not necessarily, it's not all, but if we're not busy about something good, we're going to get into something that's not good. A busybody is a non-worker. You always have a hunger and a desire, but are you satisfying it with good things? You know, I can be hungry and I could eat a box full of Twinkies. And I could. But I'd be sick afterwards. Because I'm not satisfying that hunger with a good thing. That's what Absalom, he had a hunger, he had a desire. He had a way with people. He had a way with people, obviously. But he didn't use it well, did he? He used it for evil. He didn't use it for good. Proverbs 31:27 says, talking about the virtuous woman, says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." She doesn't just sit around doing nothing, sit on the couch eating bonbons. All right? That's not what she does. She fills her life with purposeful, meaningful duties and activities. And when she gets done with the home, she turns it to other things as well. Things that are good. That's what she does. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, "By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through the idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through." When we don't work, when we don't put our efforts, it's just like here at the church. If you and I are not putting our efforts into building this church, what's it going to do? It's going to drop through. It's going to decay. If you and I, and I'm not just talking about the physical grounds. I'm talking about going out and winning people to Christ. And filling God's house. You do realize that's your responsibility before God. You are responsible personally for that. As much as I am. I'm a Christian too. It's our responsibility to build God's house. Now there are those who want to tear it down. They do. But you and I are to build it. It's through the idleness of hands. It's through that non-working that makes it fall through. A busybody is a non-worker. A person who's not involved Okay? It's not that you should, you know, oh, this person's not involved in church work. I better watch. I better, you know, stay away from them. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you need to be aware, just like, you know, doctors and nurses and everything, they treat people that have communicable diseases, do they not? Okay, but what do? They know what they need to do to keep from catching them themselves, right? Because they know what causes it. And that's what this is. This is why God gives us these things. Because He doesn't want us to take someone who's a non-worker and try to, you know, beat on them and drive them out of the church. He wants us to be a help to them, an encouragement to them to do right. I always stop people when they want to do that kind of stuff. I always stop them and say, you know, well, that's none of my business. That's none of your business either. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to help them because they need help. Absalom could have used somebody to help him here to understand that he needed to get rid of that bitterness in his heart. Because that's where all, remember what the Bible says, that bitterness is a plant that's got a seed that's planted in the heart. And if you don't take it out, it grows. And it'll produce something that bears fruit, the fruit of bitterness. Okay? We have to understand that. That's what happened to Absalom. No one ever helped him get that out of his heart. And that's what led him to be this person, this non-worker. He's not a worker, he's a destroyer. He's an underminer of the kingdom. He says this in the book of Ezekiel, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." What was the problem with Sodom? He said, pride. That's always at the heart of busybodiness. That's one of the things that's there. Fullness of bread. They had all that. They didn't feel like they needed to ask God for anything. And abundance of idleness. Abundance of idleness, of sitting around doing nothing, was in her and her daughter, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. See, she could have been doing something good, but they didn't concentrate on that. A busybody is a non-worker. Secondly, in the book of 1 Timothy 5:13, the Bible says this, "And with all they learn to be idle." Okay, they start out and they learn how to be idle really well. How to really be able to do it and not feel any guilt about it, not feel like they're doing anything wrong. They learn to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God when He tries to correct them, tries to encourage them to do what's right, tries to encourage them to be part of it. They ignore that. They get really good at it. So with all, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. A second indication of a busybody is that they are a mouth runner. A mouth runner. They go around house to house. And nowadays you don't have to go around house to house. You can call people on the phone. You don't have to go anywhere. Yeah, you can text people too. Text them and say things. Send them pictures and all kinds of stuff. But he says that they go about from house to house, not only idle, not only the non-workers, but they're tattlers also. A tattler, that's someone who's telling. Okay? Oh, did you see what they did? What did Absalom do? He said, "Hey, what town are you from?" "Oh, man, well, I've been there. You know that store there on the corner? I used to go by there all the time." And he had a conversation with him. He said, "You seem like a nice guy. I'll bet you whatever got you bugged is really right and good. You ought to be bugged by that. And, you know, the king, he won't listen to anybody about it. He wants to do everything himself." And he said, "You know, but if he would make me a king or a judge, people like you, you'd get to the front of the line. We'd take care of you right away." He was a tattler. Tattler. I can't tell you how many times I've had people call me and tell me about what their pastor was doing. They call me. "Well, you know, the pastor, so he, you know what he does? He does this, that, and the other." And I would say to him, "Well, have you talked to him about it? Well, no. And I said, why are you talking to me? Why don't you talk to him? The Bible says that when you love people, that you don't do this kind of thing. You go and talk with them. But that's what they would do. They would call people and they'd try to run down the pastor to me. I'd say, look, you shouldn't be doing this. If what he's doing is biblical, if it's not contrary to the Bible, you need to just go along with it. That's all. Because he's the one who's going to answer to God for it. If it's the wrong direction, not you. But as long as he's not violating the scripture, if you think he's violating the scripture, you need to study your Bible and tell him what, you'll help him see where he's violating the scripture. But with all, you need to love him and help him. I mean, you know, if wouldn't you want somebody to help you if you were doing that? Well, yeah. Well, okay. So why are you treating him differently? Why are you talking to me? I'm not your pastor. I'm trying to be your friend. Go and talk to him. Build the church. Work together. I've had people over the years, I've had all kinds of people call me and do that kind of thing. What are they? What are they doing? They're running their mouth, right? So what are they? They're busybodies. They're busybodies. And because, well, they're just busybodies. The Bible says this. Let me read this to you. First Timothy chapter 5. Well, we just read that one. In Job 11, the Bible says, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? He's saying, you know, somebody who's talking and on and on and rattling on and on, he says, they need to be given an answer. They need to be shown that that's not a just way to behave. They need to be told, you need to stop running your mouth this way. You don't necessarily have to use those words, but that's the gist of the idea. He said in the book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19, the Bible says this, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. It is so easy. It is so easy to begin to talk people down. To begin to trash their name, to trash their reputation. It is so simple to get in those kind of conversations where you talk bad about people who've left the church. You ought not to do that. They're people who need your love. They need your help. Talking them bad, running them down. There's a preacher one time, every time I met him, he'd start talking down Brother D'Angelo to me. I told him, look, I said, I don't want to hear that stuff. If you've got a problem with him, you need to go and talk to him about it. He's my pastor. I don't want to hear you talking that way to me about him. Was Brother D'Angelo perfect? No. But he was my pastor. And I loved him and I supported him. And I don't go around talking bad about people in the church. We ought not to be doing that kind of thing. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. The hard part is to arrest it. But a busybody is a runner of the mouth. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. An indication that a person may be a busybody. Yabba, 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 yabba. When you hear that, it's best for you to either you need to turn your ears off and stop the flow. Change the subject if you don't want to confront them. Change the subject. But don't look, because look what Absalom did. His talking, running his mouth. What did he do? He didn't just have bitterness in his heart. He turned other people's hearts as well. That's important, folks. It's very important. Thirdly, in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says this. But let none of you suffer as a, now look at this list, as a murderer, How many of you think murder is a great thing? A light thing? Is murder a light thing? It's not a light thing, is it? None of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. How many of you take thievery lightly? Oh, yeah, they grand theft auto. That's no big deal. How many of you take that lightly? Somebody comes in and steals your ID, your identity. How many of you take that lightly? Thief. Or as an evildoer. You know the evil. That's just generally every other evil kind of thing. You know, child molestation, all that kind of stuff. That's an evildoer. Someone who's plotting deliberately to do evil. Don't you suffer as that, he says. Or as a, now look at this next one. As a busybody in other men's matters. Do you understand that by putting that with those others, God is saying they are equal. They are considered on the same plane. When you're a murderer, if you're a busybody, you're just as bad as a murderer is. If you're a busybody, you're just as bad as a thief is. If you're a busybody, you're just as bad as any evildoer. And that's what Absalom was. Absalom was all those things. He is a thief. The Bible says he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. He was a murderer because he set out to kill not just his dad's army, but he wanted to kill David himself. And just because he didn't get to do it doesn't mean it wasn't in his heart. And what did Jesus say? He said that if you or I hated somebody, we were just as guilty as a murderer, as somebody who actually went and killed them. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was an evildoer. He took all of David's concubines, set up a tent on the top of the palace, and went into all of them in front of the whole city. He was an evildoer. And he was a busybody. He was a busybody. He was a busybody in other men's matters. Proverbs 17:14 says, "The bringing of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with." Going around meddling with contentions. Isn't that what Absalom was doing? He was trying to meddle with the contentions of people between the people and David. He was trying to concentrate on that, to try to stir that up, to try to destroy the kingdom. So he took the things, he concentrated on the negative things. Oh, he talked to him about how negative, how the bad things. He didn't talk to him about how David had killed his thousands and tens of thousands and defeated Goliath. Didn't talk about all that victory stuff. No. We want to concentrate on the negative side of it. We want to be a meddler in other men's matters. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning, okay, I just read that one. Proverbs 23, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." Going around meddling with stuff that none of your business. Going around meddling with the relationships between people. The Bible says that a whisper separateth chief friends. That's not the Bible saying you shouldn't whisper. Okay, that's not what that means. What that means is the whisper, the reason they're whispering is because they don't want everybody to hear what they're saying. Because they're trying to have an effect on the person they're talking to. They don't want anybody to hear it and contradict it or challenge them on it. And so they don't say it for everybody to hear. They just say it in the ear of someone. Because they're a meddler in other men's matters. He says, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. To be able to step away from strife and say, we're not meddling with that anymore. We're not meddling with that anymore. He says here in Proverbs 20:19, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." Oh, you're just, your cause is just. Let me give you a kiss. Flattering with his lips. The Bible says, watch out for people who are just overly, you know, they're people who are just overly gushy. They see and they just gush all the time. You know, you got to be careful about that. You got to watch people who are flatterers with their lips, but they're not busy doing anything. And they're always running their mouth. Man, you're adding up to a busybody. Why are they talking? I've had people who normally didn't give me time of day, and then all of a sudden they come up and start talking real nice to me. All of a sudden I'm like, and the reason for this is? I mean, I'm glad they're talking nice to me, but I'm also on the other side, I'm saying, okay, now there's something not right about this. And, you got to be careful. I'm not saying that, and I don't hate them, I don't chew their head off, but, I just am very wary of what they say and what they're saying they want to do. So, like a used car salesman. According to used car salesmen, there's not an ugly baby on the face of the earth. And politicians, for that matter. I'm sorry, but I've seen some ugly ones. I've seen some ugly ones. Proverbs 24:21. My son, fear the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not with them that are given to change. What does that mean? That means people, for instance, I want people to come to church, and I'm glad when they come, but a person who jumps from church to church to church to church to church, that's a person given to change. Because they can't light anywhere. They can't find any peace because they're not right in their heart. If they were, they wouldn't be doing that. They'd be busy somewhere instead of idle doing nothing. They wouldn't be running their mouth all the time about how good everything is when it's not good because they're not doing anything for God. And they show they have no peace because they can't settle anywhere. They can't settle. Folks, when I came to be pastor here, I intend to be here for the rest of my life. Unless God either kills me or God moves me. I don't have plans on going anywhere. None. I'm settled. I've got things for God that I want to do. And this thing here, I want to control it as much as I can. Because I don't want to be a busybody. I don't want to be like Absalom. Well, he had 50 men. Right? He had the horses and he had 50 men who ran before him. I guess that must have been the thing to do. 50 guys. Oh, are you 50 guys? I want you to run in front of me. Absalom's coming! Absalom's coming! Absalom's coming! Look at Absalom! All about Absalom. Man, he's a guy. He had ability with people. Could have used it for God. But he had something wrong in his heart that he never dealt with. And that's why he was a busybody. Folks, be aware. Be aware. You can't take everything people say at face value. I wish you could. I wish we could. Be aware, folks. Be aware. And it's something that we're going to have to be reminded about time and time again until Jesus comes. Because whether church is big or small or medium-sized, all churches face the same conflicts and the same difficulties. Men who pastor churches with thousands of people, they just have it multiplied by hundreds of times. Whatever problems are here, they'll be in big churches too. All the problems exist because there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And until we get people out of the churches, then the problems are always going to be there. But we aren't supposed to get people out of churches, are we? We're supposed to get them in and deal with the problems. Be aware, folks. Don't allow things to get in your heart that'll turn you into a busybody. There's too much to do. for us to be idle. Too much to do, too many good things to say, to waste our breath with tattling. And I've got too much of myself to straighten out, to worry about trying to straighten out you. I'll let God do that. I'll preach His Word. I'll let the Holy Spirit work on you, and He'll straighten you out. Just like I hope He'll straighten me out. That's what it's about, folks. Because you can be one or the other. You can be one or the other. As we're coming up on our annual business meeting, I want us to think about that. We can be part of the problem or part of the solution. We can be a help to what's going on, or we can be a hurt to what's going on. Where's your heart? Where is your heart? What is your desire before the Lord this afternoon? Let's all stand to our feet for just a few minutes.